This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Ready or Not is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides. From breastfeeding and returning to work to postpartum and return to work planning to childcare 101. Shop individually for $29 now or as a trio for $69. Head to readyornot.au to take the guesswork out of returning to paid work. When Sophie McComas became pregnant with her second baby, she wasn't the only expecting mother within her business. Her co-director and a senior staffer were both due within the same month, and it's a situation that many female-dominated businesses have faced. Along with the excitement came shock as the pregnant bosses navigated how to keep their business and team thriving while not one but three leaders went on parental leave. But as we're about to learn, there's always a way. And if there's one thing that small business owners and mothers alike learn fast, it's that you have to be willing to pivot at any given moment. What I love about this conversation is that Sophie is honest about the emotional side of navigating leave and returning to work as the boss, but she's also really helpful in offering practical tips and reflections on what's worked and what hasn't so far. Here we talk about going from wondering how you'll ever return to work to feeling ready, what you do when your best laid plans don't exactly go to plan, and the never-ending challenge of trying to stay present when you have an unfinished project here and emails that need responding to there. I'm Lucinda, this is Ready or Not, and here is the creative and clever Sophie McComas. Sophie, you're a business owner, a mum of one, and you're pregnant for the second time. But a bit of a plot twist is that your co-founder and another key staffer were also pregnant pretty much to the same timeline. Talk us through how you initially felt. And if you're happy to admit it, what are some of the thoughts that might go through a co-founder mum's head that maybe isn't right and we're not proud to admit, but at the time, I imagine it was quite stressful.
Yeah, it's definitely not something that we sat down and planned for our business or ourselves. But honestly, I think in small business, as a lot of other founders and small business owners out there would know, is that you can't plan anything really to exactly how you want it in small business. And I think that it's a perfect example of having best laid plans not quite land. But I obviously knew I was pregnant, and my co-founder, Nikki Toe, had been toying with the idea of whether she would have a baby for a while. Yeah, she really was considering it for a long time. And I knew that they were trying, and she was like, yeah, I think I'll try and have one in June. And I was like, sick. Okay, you'll have one in June, and then I'll have one in December when you come back. And then we know Sophie, our account manager's like just gotten married. Like, we're pretty sure she's going to want to have a baby. Like, we've talked about it. So that'll probably be like 6 months after that, and then it'll all line up beautifully. And then it took a while. Like, Nikki was still not pregnant, and I was like, oh, it's like time's getting along. My baby, you know, is 2.5, my first baby, Ned. I'm pretty keen to start trying, but like, I think Nikki's like going to take a while. So maybe I'll just get on with it. And fell pregnant pretty quickly, which we were very lucky to do. And yeah, it was just this funny moment. We went to dinner, Nikki and I, and she's like, oh, like, I'm not going to drink. Like, my boobs are a bit sore. Like, if my boobs are sore, does that mean I'm pregnant? And I was like, maybe, I don't know. And in my head, I was like,
she doesn't even know it yet. And she's pregnant.
I know. And I was like, I won't tell her because this is her first baby and I don't want to like ruin her surprise or anything. I'll just give it a few weeks. And so I just left it. And then she called and she's like, I've got some news. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, and I was like, oh my God. Like, you know, I didn't want to take anything away from her incredible moment. And it was so exciting because I knew that, you know, it had taken a while and I was thrilled for her. And I was like, guess what? And she's like, what? I'm like, so am I. Really just like, oh my God. Like, it was really like, this is a lot, but we were like, cool. And we figured out our due dates were the same week. We were like 4 days apart or something. We were just like, okay, all right, we'll we're really excited, but we were just like, let's get on with it. And I think I operate quite well in like problem solving space. Like I'm like, give me a challenge, I'll figure out how we can get to a good solution. I really thrive in that. And so we were like, great, okay, well, we've already promoted people within our team to be, you know, at a more senior level. We've got an amazing staff. This is going to be, it's going to be fine. We're like, we can tell them. We like called in our ops manager and Sophie, our account manager at the time. And we told them and they were so excited. And so I remember Sophie had tears in her eyes and we were like, oh, like she's crying, like, you know, happily crying, just not like sobbing or anything, but like she had tears. And I was like, oh, like, okay, that's a lot. So lovely. She's so happy for us. And they were. And then we told them, we were like, don't worry, we've got a plan. Like we're going to really plan out this next 6 months when we're off, you know, when we have to take leave, and it's going to be great. We've got such a strong team. We're so excited. You know, this is going to be an opportunity for you guys to really step up. And we're so excited to be able to offer you that growth. And then Sophie had actually just booked a holiday. She came back then a month later from Europe. And the second she got back from her holiday, she rang us and was like, I've got some news. And I was like, I knew what it was in my head. And because we'd just been to her beautiful wedding, we knew she wanted kids. And she called us and she's like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. Like we were like, oh my God. And then we're like, oh my God. It's like two levels of shock and complete happiness for her. I think like, again, it was one of those challenges. A lot of times in our business, we've been like, okay, we just need to like get through this. You just need to like take one step after the other and like make decisions. It's really hard to like kind of look so far in advance in a moment like that. You're like, okay, what do we need? What are we going to do? I think our operations manager was quite nervous because, you know, we'd formulated this plan where they were going to like do it together and look after our business together. And then it was a challenge, but also like, it's fine. Like nothing can not be like solved or figured out. Yeah. So we were shocked, but we were okay. And I think we were really excited. And it was actually such a fun time, like both being pregnant, or I mean, three of us being pregnant in the office. Like we were just eating so many snacks. We were like comparing symptoms. We're all on this same level with this common experience. And it was really fun and hilarious. And to be honest, like a bit of a spectacle because, you know, three pregnant women at once is just a lot of pregnant women.
That is a lot of pregnant women in a small business. How big's your team?
We're a team of 11, so we are small. It's like
so nearly a third of the staff, maybe a quarter, we'll say. We're pregnant. Oh, I love that. It is something that would happen though, right? Like if your business is more female driven and people are around that age, it is something that would happen probably more often than we realize. But I guess what you've just taught me is that in small business, I think you learn to be agile as it is. So you just figure out another way. Like there just always is another way.
Always a way you can get through it. It's just a bit of like adjusting once you've got over that initial shock. And telling the staff was interesting. Like I think a couple of people had picked up on it because we were just like, cracker, cracker, cracker. Like, you know, like constantly. And we all had a lot of appointments in the diary and a couple of people had clued on. And then we sat everyone down, you know, when we were never 12 weeks or however far along we were. And we were all like, due in the same week, Nikki and I, and then a month later, Sophie was due. So we were on the same timeline. And we were like, so we've got some news.
Three pieces of news,
in fact. Yeah. And we, you know, have some like 20-year-olds on our team, like a 20-year-old male. And he was like, what, all of you? Like all three of you? And we were like,
like, did you concoct this together in the same lab? Like, how did this happen?
They were like, oh my God. And we would get comments like people from, you know, clients, people just in our network were just shocked and would say the craziest stuff. They were like, oh, what's in the water over there? Like if I had a dollar for every time someone said what's in the water over there, I would have $1 million. Another comment, someone was like, oh, was there a party I wasn't invited to? We were like, oh, like gagged in our mouth. Just these comments just like keep coming, just keep coming, like the whole way through the pregnancy. And we're like, please just stop stop observing what's going on here and let's just like move on. But yeah, it was a wild time and we're a year in now. Like all our babies are just about to turn one, so it's a good time for reflection a year in. I think like anytime earlier than this, like we're still going through it at the moment. It's a long thing that we've gone through, so yeah, it's a good time to look back.
And let's take it back now to the start of your career. You leave school. What takes you from that graduation day to where you were just before you had your first baby, Ned?
Yeah, I went to school in Victoria. I was a boarding school and I came back to Sydney, which is where I grew up. For uni, I initially got into law at Sydney and college there, and I did a year of law and completely decided it was not for me at all. I was just, it was too far down a track, which I wasn't keen to continue with. So I was doing arts law and I dropped the law and just continued with an arts degree at Sydney, majoring in gender studies and cultural studies, which I loved. I found it so interesting, and it's really like come back now into my career, which I love. I then went traveling for a while after university and was just obsessed with food. And I've been obsessed with food my whole life. Whenever my parents would go out to dinner, I'd be like, what did you eat? Like, tell me the whole like rundown of what you had at the restaurant. And was obsessed with food blogs, like was just inhaling content about food all the time. I did a short like cooking school stint in London when I was traveling and just fell in love with it. Came home and was like, how can I make this into a job? Like, what is out there? And landed an internship at Gourmet Traveler Wine Magazine at Bauer Publishers, which was amazing. I loved it. I was, you know, doing the absolute shit kicker jobs, but had a really amazing time there and was just in love with the whole gourmet team. We're in the same office as Gourmet Traveler proper. There was food everywhere. They were testing recipes. There was wine. I learned so much. And yeah, just absolutely loved it. Ended up getting a full-time job there as editorial coordinator and kind of like staying there for a number of years. And then Broadsheet, which was obviously taking off in Melbourne, launched in Sydney. They were looking for a Sydney editor to drive the publication up here. I applied for the job, didn't get it. At the time, I didn't have much experience. I was like a junior sub-editor at Wine Mag. I'd been like writing on the side for a digital like local publication up here, like City Guide publication, which I loved. But they were like, oh, like, we're still looking, like, thank you so much. And I just said, no, I know that I can do this job. Like, please hire me. I basically just went back to them and was like, I know you haven't found anyone.
Good on you.
I can absolutely do this. Like, please take me. Ended up being hired as their editor here, which was fabulous. And I spent many years with Broadsheet and loved it, running the Sydney publication. I then, my husband's a chef and he had an opportunity to travel to Spain to work and travel for 3 months. So I decided to take a bit of a break from work and go with him to Spain for 3 months, which is fabulous. Came back to Broadsheet for another year and then went back to Gourmet, where they had a opportunity as digital editor there, which was amazing to rejoin that team. And I really loved it, but I was so used to this like crazy fast paced of digital, big legacy media. Digital was a lot slower and a lot more red tape and a lot more constraint, I guess, which I really found frustrating. And so, yeah, Nikki Toe was a photographer who I'd worked with closely at Broadsheet. She used to shoot stories that I commissioned and wildly talented. We became good friends. And yeah, we decided to start a business together, really not knowing what that meant. It was kind of we didn't have a huge business plan. We knew that there was a opportunity for small businesses and restaurants in food and drink to harness their own channels. And the concept of content at that time in like 2016 was really like a bit of a dirty word in media. Everyone's like, oh, content, like what even is that? Gross. We were like, well, we think there's something here for restaurants and
catch you in 2024. It'll be pretty big.
I know, yeah. And it was interesting. But I was freelancing at that time. I'd kind of left Gourmet and was just working on a few of my own social media clients. We had a client in common, Nikki and I, Archie Rose Distilling Co., which is like a gin and whiskey company up here. And she also was working as a photographer with her own company. And yeah, we decided to kind of form this business working in social and content for restaurants. And we're nearly 8 years in now. And I think at the time, like in thinking about kids, I never considered that when we were launching the business. Like I was dating someone, we're really serious. And we knew that we wanted children. Like it was never really a question for me whether I did or I didn't. I knew it was inevitable, hopefully for me, but we weren't thinking about it. I mean, we were late 20s, so we weren't that young. I mean, we were young, but like, you know, we're in that headspace thinking you typically think about children, but I think we just I don't know. We always started the business to like work around our lives. Like we didn't want to be constrained with anything. Like that's why we started it, to be able to do whatever we wanted and really control it. And so I didn't ever think about kids as being like impossible because I started my own business. I thought it would be helpful, you know, and learn a few lessons since then. But yeah, and so we kind of just started from there. And I didn't really think about it until I got married and wanted to start having a baby a few years later.
So the business proposition of Buffet feels very obvious in 2024. But as you say, content back then was a bit of a dirty word. And I imagine people could understand what you could do for them, but that maybe it was a bit of a harder sell or that it had to be explained a bit more. Can you tell me about launching Buffet then compared to how it sort of services and manifests in the world today?
Yeah, absolutely. It was so interesting because social was like just powering up. Like it was, you know, I launched the channel at Gourmet Wine when I was there. Like they didn't have an Instagram, they didn't have a Facebook. Like I started that for them. And Broadsheet, you know, we started the Instagram there. Like it was really new. And at the time we were writing about and talking about all these small brands. And I think like that hunger for brands to get that media exposure and like they really relied on that. But now with Instagram and with Facebook at the time, not so much anymore, they had this power, they had this channel in their pocket to really like tell their own story and craft their own brand digitally and not rely so much on media to do that for them. And that's still such a big part. The media plays a big part in the success of brands still, but there was just this opportunity where they can translate their product into their own words and their own style online and really garner their, grow their own audience. And seeing that food brands were trying to do it, but the level of product, like the quality of the product, like the experience in venue or the wine or whatever was so high, like the quality was amazing, but their digital presence just looked really amateur. And so we really wanted to just bring those things in line for them so that the experience that anyone was getting online matched that in-person perception. And so that was a big part of the initial offering of Buffet, was like aligning those things digitally. And it really worked because Nikki's a photographer and I was in copy and in strategy and in digital publishing. So we had these skills that we could do everything between us. We could offer the execution of the creative in Nikki and then the strategy and the copy behind it and the management in me. So we were like this two-woman band that could come in and really help shape and drive things for brands. One of our first products was a restaurant launch kit. So it was everything, and we still offer it today, and it's been one of our most successful like packages, I guess. But when a restaurant launches, we get everything that they need in terms of content and strategy and channel setup ready for launch. When, you know, you're a chef or a business owner and you're just like in the weeds, you cannot deal with social and like making sure that all your ducks are in a row there. So yeah, we would completely set all that up, do all the art direction for the venue, and then roll it out and run it for that launch period of about 6 weeks. And then we would train and hand over to an internal, like whoever was internal, who could manage it ongoing. So it's this really helpful and exciting product for restaurants when they, yeah, want to get everything right, like from the get-go, not be 2 years down the track and realize that their social looks terrible and isn't getting the results that they need. So we kind of explained it like that. And I think as it kept growing, people got it. They were like, oh yeah, like we see now that there's a huge need for this. Whereas at the time, yeah, just content just felt like the perception was this disposable, shallow thing. But now it's like, God, if you don't have a content strategy, you're like not even got half your things that you need. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a lot easier to explain now, but we definitely had to explain the concept of it a million times. And I think now we're also unique because we're so niche. We only service food and drink and hotels. There's a lot of other agencies that do this, but not a lot that really cater to this specific niche. So word spreads pretty quickly within that area, which was really helpful for us as well. So yeah, once we did it a few times, we didn't have to explain it so many more times.
Especially with both of your contacts lists, I'm just thinking like you are both very much in the industry, which always helps. So you said that you weren't necessarily thinking about kids too much. You knew they were a part of the bigger plan, but it wasn't this thing of like, how the hell am I going to make this work? What were you thinking in terms of when you launched your business? Do you think there was a sense of owning a business is a better decision for me personally when I think ahead to motherhood, or was it not even a part of that sort of conversation either?
It wasn't a part of that conversation. I think in terms of our careers, like, we had worked so independently. Like, even at Broadsheet, I was the only person in Sydney. Like, I really worked really independently up here. And I love that. Like, I love the freedom. I was part of a bigger team, but I was remote. So before remote working was even like considered a thing, I was remote. And so I had this awesome agility that I really loved. Like, I had a lot of ownership. I had great guidance and great mentors there, but I really felt like they gave me this project and I could just like mold it to whatever, how I wanted to run things up here. And Nikki as well was running her own business. So when I went back to media and I didn't have that, I just was like, oh, like felt in a complete box. Like, I just wanted more freedom, more pace. And so running our own businesses was just the natural next step. I think I'm a very driven, ambitious person. Like, I love running my own show. Same with Nikki as well. And she had run a very successful photography business with her amazing talent. So yeah, it felt natural to us. And I think we just loved like shaping it ourselves and doing everything ourselves and just like growing it organically. So it wasn't this like giant leap. We knew that it was the right fit for us and knew that our lives would be able to mold around it and it around our lives, which is great. Yeah.
And so I think there's about 4 years there of you building up your business before your first son enters the world. When you're getting a little bit closer to that time where you're really considering trying to conceive, how are you feeling about the whole business motherhood thing then? Does it start to stress you out, or do you keep this attitude of this will all work out, we'll just find a way?
Yeah, I think it's definitely like it'll work out. I think the thing about Buffet and me is that I have this amazing co-founder, and I think doing it on your own as a solo business founder, there would have been so much more anxiety, so much more worry about what would happen to the business. And I just feel so lucky to have had someone to do all this with. I just can't imagine that it would be like this, and like this has been, you know, stressful but manageable and like positive without that. And so I always felt confident that we would get through it, and we really try to communicate really clearly with each other and really openly and allow each other to do whatever we want to do outside or inside the business. Like, I think we never wanted to feel constrained within our business if we wanted to do something else, whether that's a side project or a baby.
A different type of side project.
Yeah,
different. It takes up way more time.
Yeah, exactly. So we always just wanted each other to achieve whatever we wanted to achieve. Yeah. And so I think that's been so precious to me to have had that resource and that friendship in Nikki. And I just feel so lucky to have done that, because I think being solo, I really tip my hat to solo founders, because it's fucking hard. So
to bounce off.
Yeah, I can't to even support imagine. You.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have such a beautiful friendship that we really try to be there for one another and support each other in whatever we need. And yeah, just feel so lucky to have had that. So I think that's been a really big reason for our success and ability to have had kids and not have collapsed because of it, and a business at the same time.
And so then you become pregnant with Ned. What do you recall, either emotionally, physically, maybe it's symptom-wise for you, what do you recall about that time of navigating pregnancy alongside being a business owner?
Yeah, so it was funny because my pregnancy coincided with COVID in 2020. So I fell pregnant in March 2020. Wow. And so it was really tricky. I saw Nikki we went to drinks with clients that night. I was ordering a friggin' mocktail at our client's beautiful bar. And I was like, please don't say mocktail really loudly.
They're like, ordering mocktail it to the bar for Sophie. That's happened to me. I'm like, are you kidding?
Well, everyone was talking about it and we were like, oh, like this is going to be something, and I don't want to dwell on COVID too much, but it was right then. And so I fell pregnant, told Nikki, we're excited, like it was great. And then COVID happened, and like every single call that we took was a client pausing or cancelling their contract with us. And we were also, me and my husband were buying our first apartment at the time. Like, we bought it in the middle of the psycho period, which was stressful. And I remember going to an inspection of the apartment and like being on texting on with Nikki about the business, and like I just had to leave because it was like so stressful to deal with figuring out what we're doing with our staff, our clients. Like, it was all a nightmare. And yeah, it was really hard. We had to offer like our staff, we lost like 80% of our business in like overnight, and had to offer them like 1 day a week work or a redundancy package before JobKeeper came in. And we had to have really hard conversations with our staff, and they were all amazing and so generous and understanding. And then JobKeeper came back in and we were able to retain everyone, which is amazing and so thankful for that. But yeah, I was pregnant at the time, and so I didn't have this like I was remote my whole pregnancy pretty much until like 7 months. And we were having like Zoom drinks and I was like, yeah, I'm drinking. Like, it was just like Hope's Normal in my glass, or, you know, soda water with cordial. So no one really saw that I was pregnant. And it was amazing for me because I was like up here at my parents' place in the Southern Highlands, and I was like feeling nauseous, but I was able to be in bed, and it was really quite great, apart from like the catastrophe of my business, like before JobKeeper and everything. It was quite relaxing. Like, I didn't have to go into the office. I eventually told everyone, but like, you know, it was a few months in. It wasn't like I didn't have to tell super early. And so it was great. Like, I was pretty chill with my pregnancy then. Didn't have to commute, didn't have to go on crazy shoots or anything. So it was this double-edged sword. Like, it was very challenging, but then I was grateful for the like downtime with my family while I was pregnant. And then we went back into the office, and I was probably like 7 months pregnant then. And our job at the time, like I was very hands-on with shoots. Like, we were working on this chocolate client. I was like down on my hands and knees, like polishing chocolates, like putting them in a perfect thing. And I just got to a point where I was like, I just don't think I can do this anymore. Like, crouching down on my knees. Like,
I need to be lying down, not on all fours.
Like, it was a lot. So I kind of adjusted things from there. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting period, and very different to my second baby when I was pregnant the whole time in the office. But
yeah,
looking back, I was like, fuck, that was pretty easy, that those first few months where I could just like lie around and be on my computer in bed, not have to get up.
It's a lot different when you have to chase a toddler as well that second time around. I know what you mean there. You eventually meet your baby. What do you recall most about early motherhood?
I loved it. I love the baby newborn phase. I found it really positive and quite easy, which I know is not the case for a lot of people. And I feel so lucky that I had a straightforward pregnancy, fairly straightforward birth, and straightforward newborn phase. I felt it was like, I've described it before, as going to a completely different country, like in that level of excitement and adventure and newness. Like, I just love, like, I'm an Aries, like I love new, I love change, I just love it. So I just had this like exhilaration period with my husband where we were just so focused on Ned and learning all this new stuff. Like, I just loved that, and I really thrived in that time. I remember just saying to Nikki, she's coming over, and Ned was just sleeping in his bassinet. I'm like, I just sleep all the time. Like, I can work. I can probably do stuff. I was just like this, looking back, I'm like, oh. They wake up from that newborn sleepy phase.
But, unfortunately.
Yes.
Just as you probably as well are starting to really think about work too. They like to time it with that.
Yeah. I just loved it. I had a really positive experience. And my sister's a midwife and a lactation consultant. So that was just a godsend for both of my boys. Like, I just had this midwife in my pocket and around the corner, and our text line is hilarious looking back. So helpful. So yeah, I just had such a great time, and I really struggled with toddlers. Like, that is when I cannot deal. I found it really hard, that phase of having a child. And yeah, so I think if you have an easy baby, I don't know, maybe it's the flip side. Some people thrive in the toddler phase, some people thrive in the baby phase. And for me,
I'm the exact same as you. Newborns, dreamy up until 6 months. I'm cruising about 6 months to 18 months. I find that a bit more challenging. Love them, totally. But much harder work than newborns, in my opinion, too.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know, you had this business, you are someone that really thrives in business and wants to keep working and really enjoys the ambition of work. And then you have this really lovely newborn phase that you absolutely adore. And I guess the return to work feels like it's looming quite early on when you're a business owner, because I think you took about 6 months off of paid work, but then there were check-ins with Nikki. How does this all collide for you? Is there a sense of dread for business when you're enjoying the newborn phase so much, or are you able to sort of enjoy both and not dread looking ahead to returning to work?
Early days, I was like, and I think a lot of new moms probably think this, but you're like, how am I ever going to go back to work? Like, how do I even do that? But the closer that you get to it, you're like, oh yeah, like I'm pretty ready. Like a month out, I was fine with the idea of going back to work. Yeah. Like I had been online and taking a few meetings and like in touch with Nikki constantly. So it wasn't like this black and white for me, but I did remember looking back and just, yeah, being like, I don't know how that's going to work. And now I'm like, as you get closer, it gets more palatable and exciting and like you want to do it. Just figuring out daycare and all of that, like it's a lot. And kind of easing back in, like looking at, I was still breastfeeding and then I only went back to the office for a month and then it was locked down again.
And then that was the more brutal one, wasn't it? Was that the really brutal one for Sydney? Because Victoria was pretty much brutal the whole time, but Sydney had that really bad second winter, didn't it? Which I imagine was then.
Days, yeah. Yes. So, and of course, Melbourne was like horrendous.
Oh, no, that's fine. Don't worry. You're allowed to say that was bad because it was.
Yeah, so I was back in the office and I was like breastfeeding and like pumping and figuring all that out. And it was like a month or maybe a month and a half. And then it was like, boom, lockdown again. So, yeah, that was challenging. But then, and my husband, yeah, again, he's in restaurants and they all shut down. So he was at home and he could look after Ned a lot of the time. So I was working at home and able to continue breastfeeding for way longer than I would have, really, if that didn't happen. So that was cool. And yeah, and Scott was really available to look after him. So I could work. So it was kind of just like big deal going back to work. And then I was back at home again. So yeah, it was really weird, especially in comparison to how Bruno has been. So, yeah, I don't know. It's very unusual. Like, it's hard to give advice because it was so just.
Yeah, it was so specific to that time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm interested to know, as a mum and a business owner, how much your decision of when to have that second baby is loaded or if it just sort of flows. I picture me, I sort of started my own thing after my first son. And mine was still very small up until recently, like Ready or Not as sort of a brand and a podcast still felt very small and side project-y until recently. So I feel like my experience is different to yours in that you had this established business. Firstly, actually, I have a question that I wanted to ask you that I've just remembered. So this is going to be a two-parter. Firstly, because I feel like they feed into each other, did you experience any imposter syndrome returning to your own business? Because you hear that a lot and it always surprises me, these really impressive women and now mothers returning and feeling like a bit of a fish out of water. So that's what I'm interested in hearing about, firstly. And secondly, relating to that, is there a sense that you need to come back and I don't know if prove yourself is the right word or if it's like getting your ducks in a row or if it's reintroducing yourself into the business. Did you have any of that sense of how much you had to do that before you would add to your family if you wanted to?
I think imposter syndrome wise, it wasn't so much imposter syndrome, but it was a real knock to the confidence, I think. We had hired a maternity cover for me, one of our amazing freelancers, who was really running the creative team while I was gone. And I knew that she'd done such a great job and that, yeah, it had been a really positive experience for the team, which was so great. And I came back and it was all running really smoothly. And I was like, cool, like, what should I be doing? Like, what is my, and I always like first creative project that I work on. Same with Bruno when I went back after him. I'm like, ooh, like it just takes so much longer to like work those muscles again and like just get back in the groove of working at pace and just, yeah, figuring out what my priority should be when this team had been running really well and what they needed. Like, what do they want from their boss and like what do they need from me? So, yeah, it was definitely, I wasn't yeah, I didn't feel like, cool, here's my position here, here's what I need to do, here are the gaps. I was just like, oh, figuring it out. And there's so much in your brain. Like, there's just so much in your brain. You're getting these notifications from daycare. The sickness was horrendous with my son. Like, it was like a spiral of such bad sickness in the middle of COVID as well. It's like bonkers. And yeah, it's a knock to the confidence. And I'm a pretty confident person. And like, you know, I don't really feel imposter syndrome like regularly. And so that was a change for me for sure. Yeah. And I just remember telling Nikki, like, really struggling that period from like 5 till 7, like after work, found it just so intense, like dinner, bath, bed, like all of that. And I was going back to the office every day. Like, I wasn't working at home. I was like, no, I need to get out of my house. I've been in my house for 100 days. I need to get into the office. I'm like really struggling with that. And she's like, why don't you just work from home like 1-2 days a week? And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I could just prepare dinner. I didn't have to do this like rush, rush, rush. And so, yes, her advice there was really helpful. So I felt like I had to be in the office all the time. I had to like just become again that like confident business owner. And yeah, it does really took me a little while to get back into the swing of things. And yeah, again, with Bruno, you're like, gotta work the muscle. And the second part of the question was?
Yeah, I asked you a question for about a minute. So that was bad interviewing by me. It's fair enough that you forgot. My second part, which I feel like sort of feeds into this quite well of what you're talking about, feeling like you almost had to build up your presence and become the leader that maybe your team needed, and also slot in a respectful way, I imagine, too, because people are given more power.
Yeah,
To then take it away from them. So I can imagine, as you're saying that, how that would sort of toil in your mind when you're also thinking about daycare sickness and all of that. So the second part was how much there's a sense of, even as the business owner, so if we think about a staffer who's employed returning to work, I imagine if they know they want that second baby, some people are just like, when it happens, and hopefully my work supports me. For other people, I imagine there's a bit of stress about how long they should be back at work and how much they need to reprove themselves. So I'm interested in how you felt about that before Bruno came into the world or when he was conceived, of that sense of how long you felt like you needed to be back and present in the office and in the team.
I knew that I would want a big, pretty big gap between children. Like, I wasn't like rushing back to have our second within 18 months or something like that. I knew that it would be a while. And I don't think there's any formula to anyone who feels like, how long should I be back before I start trying for something? And I think like for us, communication between our staff and their goals and us and our goals has always been a massive priority. Like, we're like, please tell us when you're thinking that you might want to have a baby so we can like plan around that. Like, we want to support that and want to like make it an easy transition for everyone. And like, so just let's all talk about it. Like, I don't think you need to like, maybe that's not comfortable for everyone, but we feel that like, if we could have this open communication, then we can support everyone and it'll be more positive. So I feel like that's a great idea, is to just, you know, make everyone feel comfortable in that they know that they'll be supported and that they can talk about it, about their goals and what they want, not just in their career, but in their family and in their life. And I think for me, I was excited to like get back to work and like really focus on work for that middle 18 months to 2 years after having Ned and transitioning back into work. I was like, can't wait to just like sink my teeth back into the business and really grow it. And it did really grow. Like, it was an awesome period for us. And I think in the lead up to having Bruno, we were really had this incredible momentum, and that's carried through. And I think like there's just no great time to like have a kid in your business. And I think as an employee, like, it's always a challenge for your team and your management. And, you know, I think like, but everyone wants the best outcome. So I just think communication about what you want early is the best thing that you could possibly do on both sides, from an employer and employee.
Yeah, that's really interesting framing. Instead of that sort of toxic version of asking a mum, for example, or a woman at a job interview, like, if she plans on having kids, and that being sort of this negative thing that pushes a woman out. Instead, it's like, no, we all want to support each other. If you let us in on what feels like a dirty secret of like, when I want to have kids, it's actually making it a helpful and positive conversation. We will be there for you. Let's turn this into a positive one where we don't pretend that families don't exist, because that's the way it works in so many corporates.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think like our account manager, like, we promoted her like 3 months before she went on maternity leave. Like, it's not like something that's like, oh, you're pregnant. Oh, well, that's you then, like, forever. I think one of the great positives of us all being pregnant together is, like, we want to treat people how we want to be treated because we're in the same situation. It's different when you're a business owner and an employee. But, yeah, no, I think, like, there can be challenges with coming to a manager and saying what you want and them holding you back in that position. But I think we really try to challenge that and change that and have this open discourse and, like, not – we don't want people to feel that that's holding them back. It's, if anything, it's like a real opportunity for change and growth and love that. Like, in small businesses, really, it's tricky to find opportunities to grow people because it's a small business. It's not a giant agency where there's layers and layers and layers and, like, clear paths. And we've always tried to work with each staff member to find that correct path and, like, work together to create it. And that's what's so exciting about small business as well, because you can, like, work in tandem with your manager and your director to, like, find that path. And I think that definitely has to include family. And the best case scenario is when the needs of the business and the needs and wants of the staff member can, like, coalesce and grow together. And, like, it's not always possible, but we're definitely, like, trying our best to make it work. And trying really hard.
Yeah, we're trying very hard. If only every business had that sort of mission. So then I want to take you back to what we talked about at the start, which is that Nikki, your co-founder, also your senior account manager, and you are pregnant at the same time. I'm interested to know, this time around, second round of parental leave with two other key members also going on it, what did you do to prepare the business in the end? So you had this grand idea before you realized that the account manager was also pregnant. Then how do those plans shift and what ends up happening?
Well, when we knew that it was just Nikki and I that were pregnant, we were like, great, our incredible operations manager, we can now see this opportunity for her as acting GM, which we felt she was so suited for. She was so hungry for it. Let's absolutely pop her into that role. That's fabulous. Same with our head of content. You know, she had stepped up to head of content about a year prior. And so we were so thrilled to expand her responsibilities there. And same with Sophie. We had this core team of three in leadership across our larger team that we were, like, stoked to be able to give this opportunity and help train over the next, you know, 6 months to step up into those roles. We then offered leadership training with our amazing business coach, who Nikki Toe and I have worked with for a year. Holly Garber, like, absolutely recommend her to anyone in business, especially women. She's really female focused in her coaching and her mentorship, and has helped Nikki and I so much. And we offered that space to that leadership team of three to be able to grow their skills in management and leadership, but also, like, troubleshoot while we were on leave. Like, if things came up, they had that resource, even though they could reach out to us at any time, but having this, like, objective third party is really helpful. So we put all those things in place. When we found out that Soph was also pregnant, a bit of recalibration there, but we looked for a maternity cover for her. I guess that's more of a simple fix. So really tried to find the right person there that would cover her position in account management. And she was really involved in that process in choosing a person who she felt really comfortable with, and we all felt comfortable would take us through this period, and invested in a really long handover for that position. She had 3 months with her handover.
Oh, wow.
So that was, definitely an investment.
I imagine that set up everyone well, though, right? Like, it's the team's nerves, it's the person going on leave, it's the person taking the cover, it's the owners in you.
Totally. Yeah, it was so great. We were like, we just really want this to go well. And so we really just had that long, long handover period where they were working in tandem. And by the end of that period, which was Christmas, Soph was, like, really a support to this hire that we had in place, which was amazing. Like, that was exactly what we all wanted.
I want to hold you on that one, because I find this really interesting, because I'm sure there was a cost way up of, this is a big investment right now, but it could save us dollars in the actual work of that 6 months, in that period of someone that knows the business better, feels, I guess, more at ease to make big decisions. And that obviously drives whether you're going to make profit or losses or whatever. How did you weigh up the cost of, we need to invest this time because it will actually work out better, not just for sort of the well-being piece of our staff, but probably also for our business's bottom line?
I think if Nikki and I hadn't been on going on leave as well, we wouldn't have invested that long time, because we would have been there to help support the maternity cover. We would have had the answers to all the questions. We would have been there. But we knew that because we weren't going to be there, it's like this extraordinary situation where she really needs to know what she's doing, because we're not going to be around, like, an immediate access, even though, again, we're available at any time, but, like, you're not sitting there. So I think we really did not question that investment, because we were like, this is what is going to allow our business to keep going.
Just felt like a necessity.
Yeah, like, we weren't there. And I think we just wanted full confidence. And I think we didn't put these crazy targets on our staff. We really, like, set this expectation that, look, we just want to get through this 6 months period. Yeah. Like, we're not aiming for the moon, even though we had this amazing momentum and we had some of the biggest clients we were ever getting. Like, there was this brilliant, like, steam behind the business. We were like, let's just get through. And our goal at the end of this is to have a functioning, like, maintenance phase kind of business where we're just at where we are now kind of thing. Yeah. Like, we're not, you know, hoping that we can make an extra $1 million or anything in the next
And like hiring so, four staff while you're away.
Yeah, like, we didn't want any of that. We just wanted to kind of get through it. And so if we hadn't been there, I think we would have questioned that investment a lot more. But we just knew that we had to, like, really make sure that it was all in place. And again, in business, you can never find anything. And we had a great 6 months with that maternity cover, but she ended up leaving like 4 months before the end of her contract, because she got an amazing opportunity in the arts sector, which is where she came from and where she wanted to go. So as much as we did invest and plan that out, it didn't still end up, like, you know, at the optimal end scenario, but that's okay. We just, like, you know, troubleshoot that again and, like, put one foot in front of the other. And I still think it was definitely worth that investment, because we did have a super smooth 6 months. Like, we feel so grateful that nothing crazy happened, and it really chugged along and was really successful, and the team really thrived, and the business keeps coming in, and inquiries are still there, and it all functioned really well. Yeah. So we're grateful, and clearly that investment paid off. But I think you have to. You just can't, like, not invest in training and in support for a team that's going to be in your place if you're not there. Like, we would never question that kind of investment. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, Nikki, and Soph are all on maternity leave. I'm interested, firstly, in learning what you learned about your team and them stepping up and you saying that it was thriving, what you sort of just learned about, I guess, how you'd approach your role returning to work. And then I'm also interested in hearing about the sort of last 6 months when you all have been returning to work.
Yeah. Learning about our team. I mean, again, we were so thrilled that we could offer this growth opportunity for them. And it's a crazy experience to, like, sit back and watch your business function when you're not there. Like, it's wild. You're like, oh my God, look at that work. Like, it's so cool. And, like, they're doing such a great job with their clients. And of course, like, little things come up, but, you know, we tried to be there to support them through those, but just being so impressed at the way that they were able to step into those roles. And not only the leadership team, but, like, the more junior staff as well. Like, they really had to learn really fast a lot of things. Like, in production, we have a production team and a creative team who work really closely together, but in production, it's a lot smaller and leaner team. So, and Nikki kind of heads that up. So the learning in that space had to, like, increase, like, tenfold. And sometimes, you know, when you're thrown in the deep end, that's, like, the best way to learn, is that when those support training wheels are taken off, you can really, like, boom, get into the pace of what you need to get to step up in your career. And, like, I was really impressed at how the team were able to do that. And I think, you know, they were like, oh, we're really glad to have you back, like, 6 months after that, because, you know, managing a team is tricky, and, like, that support is great. But they just thrived, and we were so impressed. And I'm always impressed by our team. Like, they're brilliant and, like, yeah, constantly impress me. But I think then coming back, yeah, we were kind of, Nikki and I were transitioning in a little bit earlier than expected because of that maternity hire did leave. So we came back a little bit earlier than we were planning, which was fine, especially for me, because I'd, you know, done it before. And so I was happy to kind of go back a little bit earlier and get things moving. And yeah, I think overall it's been super positive, but I think the most challenging period has been this transition back in, because it had been functioning really well. We really spent a lot of time, Nikki and I, thinking about look at this business, it's been running so well. You know, clearly we're still needed, but like we're able to step away and think about how we want to function in this business and what role we want to take on. And we sat down and we were like, great, 30% of my time is going to be spent on, like, I just want to work on marketing for the business. 30% of my time is going to be spent on business development and like growing our product. 30% of the time is going to be like actually, you know, executing work and shooting or writing or doing strategy. And then 10% of the time is like, you know, obviously all the other crap you have to do, like pie chart of how we would spend our time. And we got back into the business and you just get sucked back yes. into doing the things. Yeah. It's really
so
hard.
So you almost wanted to work on it more because you'd seen them yeah. working in it, but then yeah. you get back and inevitably you just start working in it again.
Yeah, which we love and like we enjoy the work that we're doing, but it's hard to have that time to be like, no, I'm going to really work on this project that's going to grow. It's not an immediate profit generator or like it's not an immediate project that you have to resource and jump on. Like it's something that's growing the business. But we've been lucky that our flow of inquiry and work is really, really high. And so we're always, our big problem is that we don't have enough people to do the jobs. And so we're kind of trying to grow our team in a sustainable way, but our problem isn't finding the work. Like that's all good. Yeah. It's just about executing it. And so we do get kind of stuck back into it. And you're constantly fighting fires as a business owner, as everyone listening to this podcast would know, there's always something happening that you need to deal with. And so we're trying really to figure out what that balance is. Like, what does that ideal pie chart look like sustainably and realistically? Like, it's easy to sit back on your mat leave and you're like, sick, I'm going to like do this, this, and this. But like, the reality of the business is different. So we're really trying to figure out what is that right split and that right balance. And that can afford us to still get done what needs to be done, what we enjoy, but also grow the business. And want to have those conversations with our staff as well, because they also have those thoughts. Like, what do they want to be working on? What does the business need? Like, how can we all do these things together? So it's all a bit of Tetris at all times, but I think it's been a bit of, yeah, that has been a bit challenging, a little bit disheartening. Like we're like, oh, like we had this perfect dream, yes. what it would be like. And it hasn't kind of eventuated like that yet, but I still have like great ambitions that it will, and that we're still yeah. learning and we're still transitioning back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're yeah. not,
and it takes a while. Time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think like the biggest challenge is just our time. Like you just have this solid gate on your day. Like you cannot do anymore. Yeah. You have to leave. And yeah. that's so hard as someone who loves their work and loves their team and loves the job, is that you just want to work more. Like I love being home with my children and I love that, but I hate leaving projects like half done or like emails unread. Like, and I'm inbox zero girly. Like I can't deal with unread, unaction stuff. Yeah. And
I mean, we've been programmed to do that forever. And then one day it's like, well, you can't work like that anymore. There's no transition period. You go from
yeah.
working your guts out, or I don't even know what that saying is, to one day being like, hey, you've got to get home by this time. There's a child
totally.
That literally needs you. Quite literally. Yeah. That's the perfect yeah. segue. I feel like we've heard about sort of the really good learnings and the challenges that you've had as a mum in business. What about when you look more through the motherhood lens as a business owner? What have been the challenges and also the great parts of having your own business as a mum?
Oh, I mean, like just the flexibility of not really having to answer to someone when you need to go, or you need to be at home when they're unwell, or you need to be at a pickup, or you need to do anything. Like just, I mean, obviously I have Nikki and I discuss everything with her, but like it's hard being able to have a boss who doesn't understand that and who doesn't like, I don't know, just it would be really hard to do that. So I feel really grateful that I have that flexibility. My husband as well owns his own business. So he works 4 days. He has a day with the boys each week. Amazing. And so do I. I will next year as well. So we have that time and like want that time and love having that extra day with them where we can have a dedicated day that's not the weekend. It's like a day during the week. And I feel so grateful to have that day.
Yeah. It also means you can both go off to work one day each a week without worrying about how they're getting to where they're going. Because that's like, I find those in-between moments of making work stressful, of getting them to daycare or discussing who's doing which drop-off and yeah. which pick-up. Like it's those things that can be really hard. Walking totally. Out the door without having drop-offs is just, every parent deserves that at least once a week.
I know.
Especially
yeah,
mums, because they don't get it as much.
Yeah. yeah. And it's been so nice for Scott as well. Like, during COVID, he had so much time with Ned. And so, like, to continue having some of that time, like, ongoing with that day a week. And, you know, as well, like, it's great being able to, I don't know, I find it really tricky, like, being available but having, but being at home. Like, I'd really like to work on, like, splitting that more, like, not wanting to check Slack or, like, cancel out Slack for the hours that I am at home with the boys.
Are you that sort of person that's always on, even if you don't mean to be or want to be, because you love what you do? So you're always thinking about work?
Yeah, 100%. And that's really hard.
That's my biggest struggle.
I get really
too.
Stressed. Yeah, it really stresses me out when I feel like I'm not present to either party. So I'm really trying to work on that. But I think, yeah, the flexibility is amazing. And like, even though sometimes it doesn't feel that flexible because you are always on, but like it is really flexible. Like, and if I think about the alternative of working in someone else's business where I don't have that autonomy, like, yeah, I definitely prefer this 100%. Yeah.
I've loved learning about your story and that very unique position of so many mat leaves at once. If you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice on navigating business and motherhood, what would it be?
Oh, I think it's just like, I don't know. I always am a bit like, just try to be more, not flexible, but I think just more flow, like just letting things go more, trying to not let things like creep in to your brain. Just try and let things go a little bit more. That's always a goal. And I think, like, you know, if you're up with a baby in 3 a.m. and then you start thinking about work and it's like tick, 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 and you can't get back to sleep, just really try to work on, like, don't worry about it. Like, it'll be okay. Yeah. And I'm not the most anxious person, but I feel like anxiety really crept into my life since this period. And, like, working to mitigate that through just, like, trying to be present, more present, have more flow in my life, even though that feels impossible sometimes.
That's my pursuit too. More flow.
Exactly. Picking your battles, I think, with things that you can let get into your brain, and then things that you don't have to deal with at 3 a.m. in the morning, you can deal with it the next day.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be my advice.
That's a great piece of advice and something I'm going to think about a lot. Sophie, if people want to find you or your work online, where should they go?
You can find me on Instagram at moremacomas and buffet at buffet.digital. You can find us all there.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.